Hey, just a couple of little things to introduce myself. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Danielle, for 25 years in April this year. She needs a gold medal for that. She's amazing. I have three kids, 22, 20, and 16. So two boys, one I brought with me on this trip. One's at Oxford Falls Bible College down there. My daughter's still at home. My wife was a trained midwife. So that's what she did before we became pastors. And so I like to say that she has a deliverance ministry. Oh, come on, work with me. Dad jokes are my kind of favorite things. Then when she was like in her late 30s, she's like, do I do the pastoring or mum or do I keep the midwife thing alive? What do I do? It was a really tricky moment for her. I like to say that she had a midwife crisis. Come on, all day. We'll be here. I'll be here tonight as well. My kids are awesome. Love my family. I was preaching for Dean Rush's church in the West, and I had my daughter Gemma, who at the point was 15, and Pastor Scott introduced me. He didn't get the memo. He's like, it's awesome to have Pastor John and his wife Gemma, and she's 15. And you know, if your 15-year-old daughter gets introduced as your wife, it's a bad moment for her, but it's a good moment for you when you're like, oh, I look like I could be a little bit younger, not sure. I went to my son's cafe where he worked as a barista, and they said, you must be Jackson's brother. And I'm like, yes, I am. This is good news. So here's to all the dads trying our hardest to stay young just for a little bit longer. You've got this. Hey, I want to preach this morning a message that I call Don't Stop Now. Don't Stop Now. And it's out of Jeremiah. And I want to encourage some people this morning to not stop in the middle of your journey for a miracle for God to come through for you, but to keep going and keep believing. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1 to 3 says this. While Jeremiah was still confined, everybody say confined, in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Holy Spirit, I pray right now as we look into this word that you will illuminate it. I pray, Lord, that those that you've spoken to once before, that this morning you would remind them of the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord would come a second time. Father, where there are promises that are unfulfilled, where your word has come and it's yet to come to pass, I pray that faith will be stirred up in this house today in the name of Jesus. The word of the Lord came a second time. The word of the Lord, that you know, the word of the Lord comes to us in the form sometimes of a prophecy from somebody. Very often it comes when a scripture is quickened to us and it brings faith to us. We call it a rhema word and it brings life to us. Or maybe the word of the Lord comes to you with a whisper in your heart and you know God's speaking to you, or a picture, a vision, or a dream that you have. They're the language of the Holy Spirit. It might be a dream you have at night, but God speaks his promise to you. And when you're a believer, God wants to speak continuously to you, to give you promises and encouragement. You might be here today and you're new to church. You don't have a relationship with God. And I want to tell you, one of the awesome things about having a relationship with God is that he speaks to us every day. He guides us. He encourages us. He tells us how to live life. He helps us avoid the pitfalls of our life. And he walks with us. And so if you're not yet in relationship with God, or maybe you once were, but you've drifted away, at the end of this service, I want to pray with you so you can connect with a God who loves you and cares about you and wants to be in relationship and speaks to you on a regular basis. All right. The word of the Lord. Now, this is interesting to me. The word of the Lord comes a second time. And I began to study this concept when God spoke to me about the word of the Lord coming a second time, because it's an interesting thought. And as I studied this scripture, I realized that there are moments in scripture where the word came a second time for different reasons. So sometimes the word came a second time because there was like, okay, you've done step one, now I'm going to reveal to you step two. And so the word came a second time. You did the first one, now I'm going to reveal the second one. And that's why the word would come, did to Jeremiah. You did this, now do that. That's the second time. Sometimes, and it's kind of like, this is part two of the message from God. Sometimes when the word of the Lord comes a second time, it's take two. As in, I already spoke to you, you didn't do it, so the word of the Lord's coming a second time. That's what happened to Jonah. God sent the word of the Lord to him. Go and preach to Nineveh. They'll repent. There'll be a great repentance in the city. He ran the other way. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And I'm wondering, you might be here today and God asked you to do something and you ran the other way. And maybe this morning, even as I'm preaching, I'm praying the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to us in this room. And maybe it's a second time God's going to speak to you. He told you to step up as a leader. You ran the other way, and the word of the Lord comes a second time. He told you to start a group, a connect group. He told you to go to Bible college. He told you to run away from that girl. And now you're like, why is life not working out for me? Oh, okay. The word of the Lord's going to come to you a second time because he's like, hey, come on, guys. Take two. Listen, that's another reason the word of the Lord might come. The word of the Lord can come in sometimes, and it's what I like to call, it's repeat for emphasis. I said it once and I'm saying it again because I want it to get deep down inside your heart. And I find when God's got a significant shift or change or move for your life, we like to say this, that God speaks to us in a still small voice. And then sometimes people can get nervous if you're about to make a big shift or a big change or take a big step. You're like, did I hear the still small voice or not? I want to tell you, God speaks sometimes in a still small voice, but other times he speaks with a loud shout that you can't ignore. And when there's a major shift going to happen in your life and God's pushing you out into a faith step, you can be clear the word of the Lord will come a second and a third and a fourth time. He won't leave you in doubt about it. He'll confirm his direction a second, a third, and a fourth time. Don't be fearful that God won't speak to you if he's got something big and new for you to step into. You won't be able to run away from it when he does. That's repeat for emphasis. But in this case, in this scripture with Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to him a second time because he needed some significant encouragement. Because Jeremiah had heard the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord was that their city should surrender so that they would go into captivity because it was a God-ordained time, and they were all ignoring the word, and therefore what happened is after prophesying the word of God, the king threw him into the courtyard, and that's believed to be the outer court or underneath the palace, and he was thrown into the courtyard, and he wasn't in a prison per se, but he was in a restricted or a confined area. And in that confined area, we know that he could have an assistant. He had someone who was writing prophecies out for him. We know that food could be brought to him. We know that he could walk around a little bit. So it wasn't like he was totally in prison. He was just confined. He was restricted. And I want to encourage somebody today that this is often the way it works when you're on a faith journey with God, and God brings a prophecy or a promise or a scripture to us, and we start to speak it out loud, we start to declare it, and then things seem to go wrong. And instead of going into the wide open spaces that we sing about, you get into the confined zone. I'm restricted. The walls seem to have come in on me. Things have got worse. Things have got harder. Things have got tighter. Didn't God say this, but now this has happened? And I want us to understand that this is actually very often the way a promise from God comes to pass. It's called, I like to refer to it as a kingdom reversal. You see, when you're a new Christian, it's awesome. You just have a thought and God answers it. You're just like, God, wouldn't it be great if Coles just rocked up to my house with $1,000 of groceries and boom, there they are. It's like, it's a miracle. God's amazing. This is what being a Christian's like. Awesome. And you're like, I need something to happen. Here's an encouragement to you. If you need something to happen, find a new Christian and get them to pray that prayer for you right now. Because God's just building and strengthening their faith and answering their prayers, and it's awesome and we love it. And then as you go on in your Christian life, that the amount of times where you just pray it and it automatically happens instantly, it starts to get smaller and smaller. It's not that God doesn't love you anymore. It's God's trying to grow you up now. So that instead of God doing things for you, like a father does for a little kid, God actually wants to do things through you. And he gives you the promise, but now he says, this is what I want to do. I got you out of Egypt. I got you out of slavery. I opened the Red Sea up in front of you, but now you're going to have to fight some giants yourself to take the promised land I've got for you. And it goes a little bit like this. He says, now I'll give you the promise, and I want it to get into your mouth and into your heart, and I want you to speak it, and I want you to take some territory, and I want you to have the privilege of operating the way I do, which is basically creating something out of nothing. It's the nature of God, and it's your nature as a born-again Christian. That you speak and things come to pass. So here's what happens with what I call kingdom reversal. I want someone to get this today, because I know some people have given up on some promises from God because the opposite happened and you thought you missed God, but in actual fact, you're right on track with God. You just got to get an understanding of what's happening right now. Is anyone listening with me here today? Come on, just help me out. Help me preach. All right, so this is what it says. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Says the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, the promise from God, and at once receives it with joy. Oh, what an amazing prophecy! That was incredible. Oh, it's going to be so amazing. Oh, I got this verse from God this morning. I can't believe how much God's going to use me, how awesome it's going to be with my future. My business is going to go through the roof. God gave me this great scripture, and you hear it with great joy. That's the word. But since they have no root, or one verse says no root in themselves, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Here's what happens. See, we've got to understand about the devil. The devil, I don't like to give the devil too much credit, but the Bible says don't be unaware of his schemes and how he operates. So the devil's got this little scheming party going on. He's like, all right, God's got these awesome promises for Alan, but he's got his little whiteboard, and he's like, okay, we need to work out some schemes and strategies that's going to rob him of all God's potential and promises for his life. And so now here's what you've got to understand. The devil's a created being, fallen angel. He is not God. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. The devil's not. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. The devil's in one place at one time. God is omniscient, which means all-knowing. He knows the future and the past. He knows today. He knows the beginning from the end. The devil only knows what's happening right now. And so we think, oh, the devil knows everything. He doesn't. So when you hear a promise from God, very often that's the first time he hears a promise from God. When God says something to you, he knows you're a weapon, you're going to make some damage for the kingdom of God, but he doesn't know exactly how, he just has a sense about it. So when he hears exactly God's plans for you, it activates him on a counter mission against God's plans. He wasn't counter missioning it before, but as soon as he hears the word, he's going to go to work. You see, if the devil knew God's plans, he never would have had Jesus crucified. He would have been like, oh, don't fall for this. This is that plan. When he gets crucified, that's for everybody else. And then he would have been like, no. See, he's heard a touch of God's plan and he's gone to uproot it, but he didn't realize God is going to turn all this around for good. So the moment a promise comes to you and you write it in your journal, or you have this dream, or you express it and you start to speak it out because that's how promises come to pass, you're starting to create something. The moment that happens, he's like, flip, call a team, get the whiteboard. Okay, God said this church is going to double in the next 3 years. We need to make it shrink for a little while so that they'll give up on the word. He comes to rob the seed before it goes from your head into your heart. That's his number one strategy. How do I rob them? How do I get rid of that seed? And so what often happens, and God actually allows this because it's his part of his process, the opposite happens. It's the kingdom of reversal. God said, you know what? Hundreds of thousands of dollars are going to pass through your hands because your business is going to prosper and they're going to go into the kingdom of God. And this message comes about a new level and you hear it, get pumped about it. The devil hears it and says, okay, full scale attack to rob them so that they give up on the promise. Because if they give up on the promise, God can't bring it to pass unless he brings it to pass through you and your mouth and you working with him. So if faith gets robbed, because the word is to produce faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If faith gets robbed, then he's gone, beautiful, you're back to square one. Actually, you're in a worse position because now it's going to be hard to believe next time I say something. He's trying to rob you. So once you understand that, then we just get into this kind of really cool zone where you're like, okay, I got a promise from God. What's probably going to happen is the opposite. When the opposite happens, I go, awesome, I'm right on track, and I'm just going to charge my way through this. And the greater the level of impact of the promise, the greater the level of influence of the promise, the greater the attack will be. But sometimes, this is what we've got to understand, we just got to get our fight back on. If you're in the season of opposite, you've got to get your fight back on. God's promised you, your kids are all going to be in the house of God, worshiping God. And right now, it seems like they're batting for the wrong team. And you're like, oh, but you're like, no, actually, this is God's promise. I'm in a season of reversal, but they're going to be in the house of God, fulfilling their destiny. So you're like, oh, what do I do? And this is what often happens. It's a spirit of intimidation that comes to rob that word and to rob you of the promise of God. So what do you do? Well, I like to call it like this. You just got to get your baseball bat out. Because the enemy wants you just complaining and negative and down and depressed because the opposite's happening. That's what he's trying to get you to do. Take that seed out of your heart. But God wants you to rise up. He's given you authority. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the word. He gave you the word as a weapon to use against the devil. That's what he gave you, that word. It's a sword. When my oldest son Jackson was about 4 years old, we've got these little beasts on the Sunshine Coast called brush turkeys. Do you have them here? Okay, they're like little black and orange and black turkeys. They're scrub turkeys. They're like rats with wings, kind of, but bigger. They're a pest, and they scratch around everywhere, and they'll go and be really annoying. And so they would come into our yard, and I would just, and then they'd try and pick at the rubbish and everything. They'd pick it, and I'd be like, "Get out of here, go!" You know, I just scare them off. So they'd come in, but unfortunately for my son, when he was about 4 years old, at his height, he was about the same height as them. So they weren't really scared of him. And so I had to teach him, mate, this is our place. This is our territory. We're going to protect it from these little annoying pests. I said, so this is what you do. When that bush turkey comes towards you, I want you to just raise yourself up really big, wave your arms around, and stamp your feet, and just yell at them, get out of here, go. That's what you got to do. And he's like, okay, we'll do it. So, of course, up comes a little bush turkey, comes into our house, sees Jackson, and he's right on the edge of our patio or veranda, and he's ready to go. He doesn't realize, but Dad's standing right behind him, okay? And so he comes up, this little kid, and bush turkey, and it comes, and he's like, get out of here, go! And he stamps his feet, he's, you know, exactly the height of the thing. Now, what he doesn't realize is right behind him, his dad going, awesome. And he looks around, and I'm like, what's happening right there for me is the picture that happens when demonic assignments come against you. Greater is he who's in you. Jesus is standing right. The devil might not be scared of you in your flesh, but Jesus in you, he's scared of you. And so we've got to activate our faith, stamp our feet a little bit, swing the baseball bat, say, get off me, discouragement. Get off me, intimidation. That promise from God is going to come to pass again. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to get your fight on. Get your fight on. All right, the second thing to understand in this season of reversal, one, we've got to understand what the enemy's doing, but two, we've got to understand what God's doing. Because God's doing something in this season. Psalm 105, 17 to 19 says this, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They heard his feet with fetters, he was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, because he had a dream from God as a kid, that the sun and moon would bow down, his brothers and father would bow down. And the opposite happened. Got thrown in prison, became a slave. He was in 14 years of kingdom reversal. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. It tested him. And so while the devil's trying to rob the word from us, God's using the experience to build our spiritual strength and our overcoming ability. And the word is actually testing. It's like purifying. It's like when gold passes through fire to get rid of the impurities, it's being tested. And God allows the kingdom reversal. The greater the impact, the longer the kingdom reversal. Moses, 40 years in the desert. For 40 years of kingdom impact. Joseph, 14 years in prison for 14 years of impact as the prime minister of the country. The bigger the building's going to get, the deeper the foundation's going to be, which therefore means often the longer the testing is going to be. The word of the Lord's testing. And what's happening in this season, part of the testing is God's purifying our motives. We started out hearing the promise and thought, awesome, that's going to make me famous. God's like, I got to get rid of that. And then we got all proud, like, wow, I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to be amazing. And God's like, I got to get rid of that. I got to get rid of that pride out of you. I got to get rid of the wrong motives out of you. That's what the kingdom of reversal does. And so that's the season of reversal does. But at the same time, it doesn't just get rid of those things. It gets us into a season where we learn the power of our prophetic voice. Where we go through the valley and we find that the dream's dead and the bones are dry, and we realize what I've got to start to do now is I've got to start to prophesy over those bones. See, it's easy when you're on the mountaintop getting the vision from God to believe the future's going to be incredible. And you had this, you know, some of you have been to the Disciple Makers Conference. You've had an incredible experience. You were on the mountaintop. God spoke to you. But it's very easy in the dark to forget what God spoke to you in the light. It's very easy when you're going through the valley and everything seems like it's dead. The dream, the promise, the thing, it's gone. And why don't I just bury it? And God's saying, don't bury it. Prophesy over it. Speak the word that I spoke to you. You got you started on this journey. Speak it daily. Prophesy it every day. Get that thing going because there's a life in that word. And what God's trying to do is, in addition to building and purifying our motives, he's trying to raise something up on the inside of us so that we can be people who speak the promise of God into reality. So if you're in the valley, here's what you do. You keep your heart soft. You don't blame God for everything. You don't say, God, why have you forgotten me? You don't complain about it. You keep praising because there's breakthrough in your praise. You keep worshiping. You stay grateful. You keep your heart soft. You don't allow your heart to get hard. You keep just saying, God, you're good. Even though what's going on right now is bad, you're good. You're going to turn this for good. You're going to work this for good. Your nature is not up for question. What happened to the Israelites when they were going through the wilderness and they were having their testing period? The Bible says that while they were being tested, they turned around and they tested God. The worst thing that we can do when we're going through our season of testing is put God on trial, because he's not on trial. We're being tested, not God. It said their hearts got hard and they tested God at Meribah. So if we've been testing God, saying, well, don't you care? Why are you doing it for them but not for me? And we're in this hole putting God, we've got to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. You're not being tested. I'm being tested. And maybe I'm not doing so well. So I'm going to get back up and I'm going to begin to praise and thank you and I'm going to prophesy over my circumstances. When I... Pastor Alan said earlier that I've been involved in business for years, and I have. I've still got a business that I run right now. I've started some and sold some, and I learned so much about faith through my business. I learned stuff at uni, then I learned stuff about faith through my business. And one of the seasons that I went through, we had an overdraft that was secured by my parents' house. Hello, they're retired. My parents were crazy. They empowered me. They just had a lot of faith. I don't know what was going on. I was in my 20s running these businesses. We had a $40,000 overdraft. The security was their house. The bank rings up one day and goes, hey, we're changing the metrics of our loans. Although you're within your capacity, we've decided that we're not going to loan to people like you anymore. So we're going to need to pull in that overdraft or sell the house. Sorry, Mom and Dad. And God spoke to me in that season, and he'd given me a promise, and he said, instead of shame and humiliation, I'm going to give you a double portion. I'm going to give you the wealth of nations. And so I had at this moment, we're like, well, what are we going to try and do? Are we going to scramble for more finance? And I felt like God said, no, I want to get you free from being in debt, and I actually want things to be different. I want you to sell one of your businesses, and I want you to, and I'm going to use that to bring prosperity into the other business, and you'll have seed money and take that to another level. So I still have this, and this probably lasted maybe a 5 to 6 month period, because they weren't keen on selling my parents' house, but I still have the letters that came saying, I'm going to sell that house. We're going to sell that house. This is notice. This is your final notice. And we're selling one of our businesses. And I just remember what I would do is I got the scriptures that God gave me and I wrote them over the top of the notice from the bank. And I said, Lord, your word trumps letters from the bank. Your word trumps doctor's reports when things look impossible. If God gives you a promise, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, that word has power in it. And the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it, but the way he performs it is through your mouth. And so I would just get to work early and begin to declare, God, instead of shame and humiliation, which I've got, by the way, then I'm going to give you a double portion. I'm going to give you a double. So, Lord, we've got the first half. We just need the second half. And I began to declare a double portion. God, you're selling that business. It's going to move. And we ended up selling it for more than $100,000. We paid the overdraft out. Never had to have an overdraft like that now for 20 years. And it was one of the number of miracles that God did for me in that season, because I began to understand kingdom reversal and the power of holding on to the word, fighting the devil, holding on to the word, and declaring the word of God. Can I get a keyboardist to come on up right now? So I'm wondering, go on, give the Lord a clap, give him some praise. So I'm wondering, I reckon there's some people here that God gave you a promise, the opposites happen, and you let the promise die, but actually this morning the word of the Lord needs to come to you a second time, because the reason that you're in the confined place is you spoke the word in the first place. And so God's going to get you out of the confined place, but he's not going to just pick you up and rescue you. He's going to get you out as you build a siege mound yourself on the enemy, one word at a time, one day at a time. You're speaking his word. He wants to stir you up. And so I'm wondering right around the room,